it's going to be like pain everywhere. We're riddled with pain, but the mark of a Christian is the ability to see his goodness in that, and you won't be able to see it in isolation, because all you see is woe is me.
Yeah.
The church is a biblically sound church. Let me put that out there. A biblically sound church will take you in that brokenness and direct you back to the cross.
In a culture predominantly ruled by autonomy, personal agenda, and comfort, the church must hold fast to its identity as a family. As Christians, we believe we were created imago Dei, or in the image of God, and with that truth comes certain beliefs about how one achieves the good life. Being made in God's image means, among other things, that we were created by a community for community. We are not autonomous beings whose flourishing comes through the pursuit of personal gain, no matter the relational cost. Christians know that our lives are not our own, and we need a close community of believers around us that continually help us shape our understanding of God and our identity in Christ. So, if that's true, how heavily should we weigh and consider the church in our big life decisions? There are churches everywhere. So should we really look all that carefully for a good one when we are considering that new job or new place to move? Can we make big life decisions like this without the help of other believers? And can we trust God when he says he blesses those who are obedient to his call, even when that call seems counterintuitive to our own personal idea of flourishing? This is the world of questions that Diamond found herself caught up in. But first, let's get some backstory.
I moved to Cleveland for my first job out of school, and I definitely didn't want to go to Cleveland. Like, it was pretty funny because my life goal was moving back to Houston, where part of my family is, and I got so obsessed with this dream, like, I literally got rid of winter clothes. Like, I was like, I'm moving to Houston. And when my friends asked me, I'm like, I'm moving back to Houston. It is like God himself to, like, keep me here. Like, I'm moving to Midwest. So, not only did he say, gotcha, he said, I'm a one of it. You're going to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And it was the ice age. When I was moving in, it was negative 16.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. So, I got there, and it was rough because basically, during the ice age, as I call it, the city is literally shut down. There's no social, no nothing. So I was at home basically Netflixing it every night.
Oh, man.
I didn't have a supportive boss. And I kind of would tell him my dreams and my aspirations. And he literally told me, like, this is all you're going to do. I'm like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I haven't even been in my career at that point a year yet.
Yeah.
And he's telling me this is it for me. So I was like, no, something got to give. And like a series of really bad events happened, at work. And I reached out to a lot of my friends and mentors, and they kind of was like, go to this conference. National Society of Black Engineers was the conference that I went to. I went by faith. I didn't have the money. A friend was like, hey, I'm gonna loan you the money. So I was like, okay, cool. So he gives me money. I register. Within probably like 2 hours of that, I had two interviews scheduled. And then Saturday to Wednesday, I had those two interviews. I told my friend, I was like, hey, when I get my tax return, because I had an amended tax return, I'm like, I'm going to give you my money. I promise. So I'm looking on the website, it said like 12 weeks out, right? I'm like, Jesus of Nazareth. However, as soon as he gave me the money, I registered and everything, my deposit came the next day. So I literally pay him off the next day. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to Nesby. So I go to the conference, ended up getting two more interviews. So I had 4 interviews, and I was only going to be there for a day. So I went there, did my interviews, and basically was trying to get back to Cleveland as fast as possible for a concert. On my way there, I get the first job offer, which was in California. And I was like, yo, yes. And then after that, I got the offer from Alcoa, and it said Davenport. So I'm sitting there with these 2 papers, and I'm like, all right, Alcoa isn't offering me as much. So that was my first, I'm like, I'm going to California. They're not offering me as much. So they were like, well, negotiate, see if they can match the offer. So I did that, and they matched the offer. I was like, okay, all right. So that excuse is out of the way. Yeah. And I kept praying about it, like, God, where do you want me to go? And I've moved probably like 5 or 6 times, and every time that I moved, I checked the Acts 29 network and see where a church is. So I'm looking at California, and I'm looking. The closest Acts 29 church was like 1.5 hours away. And I'm like, what? That's California. So I typed in Davenport, or I clicked on Iowa. And it was like church 5 minutes away. And I was like, yeah. Yo.
The only one.
The only one. And I'm like, yeah. All right, cool.
So, in the face of what would seem like a no-brainer decision between moving to California or the middle of nowhere in Iowa, Diamond was self-aware and knew that she needed to look past the surface level with this decision. And on that, she said,
I knew one of 2 things. Regardless of where I go, I need community and I need accountability. The thing that I did learn by moving so much is you get the opportunity for anonymity. You can be whoever you want. You can do whatever you want and never have any accountability.
Yeah,
that's good. And I knew that I was struggling in Cleveland with accountability, with, you know, the thorns in my flesh, as we call it. So I knew wherever I was going, I needed people to pour into me. I needed to be challenged. And I didn't want the feel-good gospel where I leave feeling like, you know, I'm the greatest person. I needed conviction, and I needed to be reminded of my total depravity. Mm-hmm. Like, I needed that.
Yeah.
I'm like, but God, they got mountains in California. Yeah, <right. laughs> like, I'm right. Looking at the pictures. I'm like, man, I don't have to worry about winter clothes.
Yeah, it's cold here too.
Right. I was like, I'm trying to get back to the South. I'm trying to get to the warmth. And every time I would pray, I kept hearing Iowa, but I'm like, God, they got mountains. Mm-hmm. And that was my response every time. I'm like, God, they got mountains. And at one point, it was just like, this is where you're going. I don't care how you feel, that's where you're going. And when that happened, I called the, actually, I came out here, because my friends work here too. And I came out here, I looked around. I was scared because we flew into Moline. I was like, yo, Jesus, look. They don't got no buildings.
No.
So I crossed the bridge. I was like, oh, civilization. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. All right. And I called the other company was UTC. I called them and I declined the offer. And I knew it was going to be hard, but this is where I'm supposed to be right now. So
I knew it was going to be hard. Diamond didn't realize how true that statement would turn out to be. Even in the midst of obedience to God's call, the next few weeks and months were anything but easy for her.
I'll just do it in months. Yeah. Let's do it that way. So May, it was leaving my friends, then finding out I get paid once a month. Mm. So that was pretty cool to find out. And then I came to this church. I knew that just from the demographics, it was a predominantly white church. Mm-hmm. But it's always that reality when you get there that every Sunday I got used to going in and being able to hug 100 people and say, hey, how are you doing? Yeah. To like just feeling kind of like a nobody.
Yeah.
And that was like really, really hard. Yeah, so that was the first thing. And I kind of fought through that, and it was a lot of that the first couple months as far as community was not genuine at all. Like, I would go to MC, and I'm very honest about my life and my sins. Thank God for that, but I wouldn't let people in. I wouldn't really put it all out there. I wasn't loving people back because it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted my friends in Cleveland. I didn't want that. I wanted the gospel. I wanted everything, a church. I wanted that, but I didn't want relationships. So that was hard. And God just slowly but surely broke that. Then June happened, and I got thrown off a horse. So.
Literally.
Just so we're clear, Diamond actually got thrown off of a horse while horseback riding. This is not a figure of speech. Anyway, let's get back to the story.
Like, I joke about it a lot. Like, I pray, like, God, I want to experience you in a new way. Like, that had been my prayer for months. In my mind, how that was supposed to be answered.
Yeah.
Like a raise, maybe, you know, a vacation, a boyfriend, something, I don't know. Yeah. No, he said, I'm going to give you the full Paul experience. Thankfully, I didn't get blinded, but I got thrown off a horse, and it was the most pain in my life. Because from the time I was 14, I've always did everything for myself. My parents have had little to no support in the things that I've been doing. If they could, I'm pretty sure they would have, but a lot of times financially they couldn't, so I had to figure it out. So it was times I was a senior, freshman, well, yeah, I was a senior in high school working three jobs because they couldn't support me. I was supporting myself. So I couldn't go down my steps. I stayed up eight flights of steps. I couldn't go down my steps. I couldn't do my laundry. Could barely stand. So it was hard. It was really hard. And I got through that through my MC because they would, once they heard about, you know, the incident, Ben and Kenzie posted like, hey, do some meals from Diamond. And I was like, all right, whatever. These people ain't gonna, man, I said eight flights of steps, like, don't nobody care about me then. You know, and every night somebody was bringing me a dish, and I was just like, I'm not gonna cry. it was just like, these people don't know me. My own family don't love me like this. Like, what is this? And I want this. I want to be like this. I want that feeling where I will sacrifice whatever time, you know, putting in extra ingredients just to feed another person. And that was, it was incredible. It was incredible because I've never had that in my life. So that kind of just was like an awakening for me. And then the canoe trip happened. My boat capsized. That was in July. So I got set back as far as my injury.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And that was just depressing because I was like, I'm making so much progress and I'm a runner. So I'm like, yo, I'm close to running. Like, yes. And no, it was like starting all over again. So I was just like, all right, God, why are you punishing me? Like, what did I do? What is going on? Like, why am I suffering? Like, why? And it was times I would pray, and this is be real, we're honest. I was like, God, if you was a person, I'd fight you right now. Like, you could get these hands. Like, I would straight swing, because I just felt like, why are you doing this to me? Like, I'm trying to really live for you, and things aren't going as planned. Like what's up? Like, tell me something. Like, I got some candles. You don't have to be a burning bush. Just light a candle and talk to me. Like something.
Yeah.
And nothing. I got nothing.
As if getting thrown from a horse, almost reaching full recovery, and then re-injuring herself on a canoe trip wasn't bad enough.
And then August, I was still recovering. Then last month, two of my friends died, like in a car accident. Mm. And that just broke me. That broke me. I was in a very, very bad place. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm so happy. His love for me is not contingent upon me.
Mm.
But
yeah.
Through community, I got talked off the ledge, literally off the ledge. And he just, it was just the gospel just showing me love through another person, just through community and what that represents. Like, that was like the dopest thing. Like, not that I would want to get thrown off a horse again, but I'm thankful that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And where it placed me mentally and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And showing me, like, I made a biblical decision when I chose to come here.
Mm-hmm.
For a community.
Yeah.
I asked Diamond, with all you've experienced, sacrificed, and even endured through the process of trying to do God's will and let the church be a voice and a weight in your decision making, what advice she could offer to those in a similar place of wanting or needing to make big life choices but not sure if they are wanting or even willing to let the church speak into those things. This is what she said.
Whatever season of life that you're in, there will always be a need for community. No matter if you feel like you reached the highest level of Jesusness,
mm-hmm.
or you're it like in awe of your depravity, you're going to need community. And to operate as a silo is so unbiblical.
Mm-hmm.
And then for your own soul, like, you get devoured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isolation, you're going to get devoured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no question about it. When you think of a wolf pack, like, or sheep, or any type of animals that move in herds,
mm-hmm.
they do that for a reason, because
mm-hmm.
isolation is defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the only person that is going to pursue you in isolation is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta be in a setting to even hear that.
Yeah, wow.
Like, you have to. And if you're not, no amount of money is gonna give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
No amount. Like, that salary didn't mean nothing if I couldn't go up my steps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That salary didn't
mean nothing. If that happened in California to you with nobody around. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Like,
nobody there to talk you off the ledge. Like,
nobody. Like, that's so important for your soul. Like, it's going to be, like, pain everywhere. We're riddled with pain, but the mark of a Christian is the ability to see his goodness in that, and you won't be able to see that in isolation, because all you see is woe is me.
Yeah.
And the church is a biblically sound church. Let me put that out there. A biblically sound church will take you in that brokenness and direct you back to the cross.
Yeah.
Like, the church has to be a priority. Like, we're called to put God before everything. Like, one of my favorite quotes is, like, you're not called to manage sin, you're called to kill it. Like, how can you do that without community? Like, Jesus himself is in community. How can you not be in community? Like,
that's good.
It's just anti-gospel.
I'd like to thank Diamond for contributing to this edition of Sacred City Stories. Sacred City Stories exists to spread the good news of what God is doing in the lives of people at Sacred City Church, and we pray these stories can be a blessing to you as well. For more stories like this one, please visit sacredcitychurch.com and click under the Resources tab to find these stories. This is Joel Bickford, the Deacon of Worship and Liturgy at Sacred City Church. Thanks for listening, and God bless.